Okay, I guess AT&T owes us an advertising slot. My name is Igor Edry. I'm a lead program manager in Windows Server. With me is Ben Harila.
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm also a program manager on Windows Server. Igal and I work on the Server Core team, and we're here to try to explain why Server Core is right for you, as well as demonstrate some of the new management capabilities in Windows Server 2012 with Server Manager.
Great. So who knows what this is? Anyone? No one.
Okay. Yes, you got it. I heard
it. You got it, yeah. Less is more. What we'll try to show you here is actually that less is more, less is better, and in the case of Server Core, show you what the benefits are of deploying a server that actually has less than the full server. Let's get started. We'll talk about deployment of Server Core. We'll talk about why you want to deploy that, and then how you want to deploy that, and about the new things that we've done to enhance your experience with deploying Server Core in Server 2012 and R2. We'll talk about a new feature that is, again, all about less is more, that is called Feature on Demand. Again, we'll explain what it is, why is it important, when you want to use it, how to do it. And then we'll talk about how you manage servers, and particularly Server Core, but not just Server Core, with the new Server Manager that came out with Windows Server 2012. So let's get started. Leonardo da Vinci said that simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. We like to think that Server Core is driving the server towards simplicity. I've actually been reading a book about Leonardo da Vinci lately. I can say two things about it. One, he's very process-oriented, very methodic in his creativity. Doesn't have anything to do with Server Core, but just my observation. But second, when you look at his designs, at the things he was inventing, simplicity kind of like come out of that often. So we'll try to talk about Server Core and show you how making it simple is actually helpful and better. So does anyone here not know what Server Core is? Or raise your hand if you've seen Server Core before. OK, great. So we have the right audience here.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Yes.
How many people have actually deployed Server Core in your organizations?
In production. Okay, it goes down and down, but it's okay. The trend is right. We would like to really get you to do that all the time. And you've seen Server Core. It's really Windows Server without the GUI. It's a deployment option of Windows Server. It's the default deployment option in Server 2012. If you deploy Server 2012 and just see it next, you get Server Core. You don't get the GUI. And the idea there is it really contains everything that the servers need and nothing more. And we don't believe server belongs on the we don't believe GUI belongs on the server. We believe that the server needs to act as a server and do stuff, run the workload, and the GUI belongs elsewhere, which we'll talk about. Why would you want to deploy Server Core? So there are several benefits for using Server Core as your default server deployment. The first thing is that you get a reduced footprint of the image, less disk space. It's a significant saving when you remove all of the components from the server that you don't need and get to the basic Server Core. I would say here one thing. We can go lower, and we are striving to go lower. But even now, the difference is pretty significant in the size, the footprint of the server when you deploy Server Core versus a full server or server with full GUI. As a result of that, you get reduced amount of patches. You don't have to deploy a lot of patches because those components are simply not there. And if your server is not using them anyway, then let's save the time and the cost that it takes you to patch all of those features of the server that you're not really using. And we've done some homework and looked at the stats and compared patch history over the lifetime of since Server Core started until basically last month. And eventually, you're ending up saving about 75% of your patches if you deploy on Server Core. And if we count something that's often more important to you, which is how often do I need to reboot the server, and if you take an approach saying that I will only deploy patches when there is a critical update required, not important one, but critical ones, and when you deploy the critical patches, deploy the important ones as well, you can save 50% of the reboots as a result. So you get better uptime, better time between the reboots, less patching, Obviously, once we've reduced a lot of components, remove them from the server, you get a reduced attack surface, so it's more secure. And in the area of running everything virtualized, you get better VM density. You can run more server cores on a host than full servers on the same host. We actually have here a laptop running 6, 7, 8 VMs of server core.
Six, right?
And it's not a problem. Because it's small enough, we can do that. Really, the philosophy we are following is that for the server, you don't need local GUI. It's not that you don't need a GUI, but you don't need the GUI to reside on the server. And that's why we are trying to drive that server down and get rid of everything that's not necessary on it. Let's talk about the transition between deployments. So in Server 2012, when you deploy it and just like hit next, you get to deploy server core. This smaller footprint, smaller image. In pre-2012 days, you actually had to make this choice at the beginning, and you would deploy either server core or full server. You had different images to choose from. In 2012, we basically made it a deployment option when you can deploy server core or choose to deploy the full server, the classic full server with all of the GUI on it. And there is a way to transition between them. So it's no longer a choice that you have to make during setup time. And if you regret it later on, you need to redeploy the whole server and reconfigure everything. You can actually transition between the server core and the server with the full GUI anytime you need to. So if you are deploying server core, or if you're not deploying server core because you're nervous that maybe you'll need the GUI sometime, we've enabled that to happen now. You can deploy at server core, go with the defaults, and if the case arises where you have to add the GUI, you can do that. We'll demo that later in the session. The difference in the defaults without any additional roles installed, et cetera, is about 4 GB of space that you can save or that you add if you decide to add the GUI. One more thing that we've noticed is that there are enough customers out there, you, who are choosing to deploy server with the GUI because it's more convenient. Because when you have to have it, you really don't want to then start managing things with PowerShell or figuring out how to do stuff. You have existing guides that describe steps for troubleshooting that rely on GUI tools. And you really wanted the GUI anyway. And we added in Server 2012 a new option that's kind of like in the middle between server core and server with full GUI that enables you to get almost the significant amount of the benefits of server core without paying the full price of server with a GUI. And we've called that minimal server interface. So it's a new option. And because we can now transition between all of these options, it's very easy. It's just things you can do either during setup or later on during using PowerShell or Server Manager. And there is now a new option called minimal server interface. What is this option about? It's about adding the GUI components that you need in order to manage the server. So Server Manager is there, MMC is there, control panel applets are there. But without the two components of UI that you really never need to deploy the server, which is Internet Explorer and the File Explorer. And when we remove Internet Explorer, with all of the add-ons that people may tend to deploy on it, and with the removal of the actual ability to browse the internet from a server, we already get a significant amount of improvement to the security of your server. You will not browse the internet from the server. I hope that's clear why that's a bad idea. So IE is not there. File Explorer is not there. But you still have the UI, like Server Manager and all of these MMC snap-ins, so that you can manage your server with the GUI. And you can choose to stay on each of these three options, and you can transition between these three options smoothly whenever you need to. Okay? So a new deployment option, kind of like between full server and server core, has some trade-offs, which we'll talk about now. So when you deploy minimal server interface, there is no IE and there is no shell, File Explorer. And the result is that it's not all perfect. We would like to get there, but it's not all perfect. You will notice that in some cases, some common dialog boxes that rely on the shell or rely on IE will not function well. The UI extension that depend on the shells, on the shell namespace, like some of the networking commandlets or control panel commandlets, will not function. Obviously, there is no Internet Explorer, which means if you're running a GUI that tries to open up help pages that are on the internet, you will not get that. And some file associations are not there. But the general idea of having a server with UI to manage it, and it's functional, right? You can actually use minimal server interface. We'll show you in a second. Is actually a good trade-off if you feel that you have to have UI and you want to avoid having the extra size and the attack surface that goes with having browser on your server. So in order to show you how it looks like, I'll hand it over to Ben to walk us through a series of demos of how you transition between the different modes.
All right, thanks. So we will take a look at minimal server interface in a bit, but first I'm going to do a quick demo to show how we can take a server running server core and bring it all the way up to the server graphical shell. We've done this demo in the past. You probably remember, like, oh, not again. But this time I'm going to do it using Server Manager so you can see how we can do it remotely. So just to give you a little bit of an overview of what we have set up here, we have 7 VMs. 6 of them are running server core. One of them is running min shell, and we'll save that for later, minimal server interface. And we have a domain controller, and all of the VMs are joined to the domain. Again, let me emphasize, this is all running in this little laptop. So it's pretty amazing that we can squeeze this much density into, you know, commodity hardware. But if you look on the left, you'll see that I have actually what looks like a server, but is actually a machine running the client version of Windows 8. And it has the RSAT, or Remote Server Administration Toolkit, installed. It's a free download. You can get it from the download center. And we have a new updated RSAT available for R2, which you can also download from the download center as of Tuesday when it was released. So here in Server Manager, I've gone ahead and added all the servers that I want to manage. And we'll show how you can add and remove servers in Server Manager a little bit later on. But on the right, I have this server here, and it's running server core. You can see that because it's running server core, there is no UI other than the command line. There is no shell. There is no IE. If I type iExplore, you will not get anything. No Explorer. very minimal. And but maybe I have something wrong. Maybe there's a device that's malfunctioning and I want to troubleshoot it using Device Manager. Or, well, that's not really a great reason to install the shell because I could always just use minimal server interface for that. But maybe I just need to browse the internet from this server. I'm just going to go ahead and select it in Server Manager and then go to Add Roles and Features. The Add Roles and Features wizard will guide me through the process of doing that. So I'll make sure that is selected. Go on to Features. And under User Interfaces and Infrastructure, you will find Server Graphical Shell as one of the available options. It does depend on minimal server interface, so we'll go ahead and add that as well. And then I'm just going to click Next. I will need to reboot. But then when I go ahead and click Install, Server Manager will remotely connect to that server, authenticate using my domain credentials, and then go ahead and install that feature on the server remotely. This is going to take a few. Sorry? We will get to that in just a minute. So no problem. It's a great question. Yes, the question was, do you need to add a source? The answer is sometimes. If you install server core right out of the image, the files for the server graphical shell and minimal server interface aren't actually included in the box. What will happen is, in a default setup, it will go out to Windows Update and download those files on demand. But if you don't have internet connectivity, you will have to supply a source. And we'll show how you can do that in the third demo or so. But thanks for asking. So it is going to take a minute. So while that's going, I'm just going to kind of continue on and talk a little bit more about how you can do this transition. One thing that you noticed is in Server Manager, we had this really nice tree of all the available features that you could install on your server. Well, we've made that available in PowerShell. So if you type get-windows feature, you'll see that the entire tree actually prints out into your PowerShell window. And since it's kind of inconvenient to retype those long names with spaces and everything, especially in PowerShell where you have to quote and escape things, there are short names which are available for you to use in PowerShell. And those are displayed in PowerShell when you type get-windows feature. You can also use asterisks after get-windows feature to filter down the list a little bit. And there's a few more options that you can use. You can also do get-windows feature remotely, so you can target a remote machine. If you specify the computer name parameter, you can target any machine that you have permission to access. Once you have the names of the features you want to add or remove, you can then use the install Windows feature and uninstall Windows feature PowerShell commandlets to install or uninstall those features. You can specify if you'd like the machines to restart automatically. You can install or uninstall more than one feature at a time. And as you asked, we can specify sources. So if you need to supply an additional external source to get files for those features that you want to install, you can specify that on the command line as well. There's also a way to do that in Server Manager, and we'll show that in a minute as well. Similarly, if you wanted to transition to and from the minimal server interface, this is really more of a reference that you can consult later. These are the feature names that you would need to add or remove. So continuing on, let's take a look at the minimal server interface.
So as you can see, the upgrade or the installation of the GUI is almost complete. The server is currently is rebooted and will be ready in a second. And until that happens, we have another server handy to show minimal server.
Yes.
Go for it.
So the other server is going to be the full server graphical shell in a minute. But this one just says the minimal server interface. So you can see it looks a lot like Server Core. It has no Explorer UI. There's no desktop background there. There's no start menu or anything like that. There's just the command line interface there in the background. But Server Manager is here in the foreground. This is just to demonstrate that you can see that with minimal server interface, you get many of the benefits of Server Core, but you still have a smaller footprint. So if I go into the Tools menu here, I can launch any of the MMC snap-ins that I'm used to having. So if I wanted to open Computer Management or Device Manager or anything like that, it's right at my fingertips with Server Manager. Now, let me just demonstrate quickly that PowerShell commandlet. So we do have the full PowerShell available in both in Server Core and in minimal server interface. I'm going to take this server down to Server Core by uninstalling the required features. So I'm just going to show you this Get Windows feature, just so that you can see how this entire tree is available. And it's quite a lot of things. You can scroll up. But here are the features that I'm interested in, user interfaces and infrastructure, and then those sub-items. And we will need to restart. So just like that, I can convert this machine down to Server Core. Actually, since we're here, let me take a look. And we can see that installation succeeded. And if I come over here, why is my mouse stuck? And just sign in.
You can do a view full UI.
Oh, yes. You'll see that, in fact, we do have the full Explorer here. I can go down to Start. Actually, you can run Task Manager and Server Core as well. But just to demonstrate a couple of things. You know, everything is available. So this is, again, kind of a reference chart. It's kind of a lot of information to take in. But as you can see, just by looking at the number of check marks under each column, you can see that there's actually quite a big difference between minimal server interface and the full server with the GUI. We do take out a lot of things that really helps reduce the patching surface of your servers. And you can see that also you don't lose a whole lot when you go down to Server Core compared to minimal server interface. But you really need to go down to Server Core because all the dependencies of the UI components really add a lot of footprint. And if you want to really maximize your VM density, Server Core is going to let you do that.
great. One thing maybe to note here is that there is another feature we didn't talk about, which is the full desktop experience. You really only need to do that if you are going to use the server as your desktop. Otherwise, you really don't need the theme and the modern style apps running on your server. The only cases where we've seen people who want to do that is if they use the server as their desktop. So this is like a summary of the capabilities. Let's talk about Server Core journey. So you've seen that we've started Server Core in 2008. It was a deployment choice that you have made at the beginning, and you basically had to stick with it. When we started, there was very little PowerShell, or actually no PowerShell available back then. You could not do remote management of the server in the way that you can do today. We had a few first supported roles, Windows Server roles, on Server Core. We've improved in Server 2012, in Server 2008 or 2, but really in 2012, we've made a major leap forward. And in 2012, it defaults to Core because we believe that it's now the right choice to make. And it's not anymore a limited choice for some use cases. It is the way you should deploy a server. Everything is PowerShell manageable. You can do remote management. You can do remote installation and configuration of the server. You use Server Manager remotely using the Remote Server Administration Toolkit from a desktop machine to manage your servers. That's what the GUI needs to be. And it supports all of the roles except fax, which I don't believe we intend to fix. Is anyone here running a server fax role in production? Fax is dead. Okay. Maybe?
So it's still there.
For that one, keep running it as full server, I guess. It requires some of the GUI components, but everything else actually runs well on Server Core. All of the Windows Server roles are supported. A question that we often get asked is, okay, if you want to deploy a server for the built-in roles, that's fine, but what about additional application? What else can I run on Server Core? Because it does take some effort to make server application run well on Server Core. So as we said, the built-in roles, everything except fax. If you look at the Microsoft application, SQL Server has components that will run on Server Core. There was actually a session in TechEd showing how to deploy SQL on Server Core. Dynamics have started to move some of the applications to Server Core, so you can deploy the Dynamic Nav Server. Most of System Center components, if you separate them for server functionality and GUI, which you can do, you can run the server part of them on a Server Core machine and have the GUI separated, which is the way you want to have servers being managed. BizTalk runs on Server Core. You can run the four-fold endpoint protection on Server Core, so you can add antivirus protection. So within Microsoft, there is something called the CEC criteria. Have you ever heard of the CEC criteria for Microsoft applications? Raise your hand if you had. No one. Wow. So let me talk about this briefly, because this is really important. At Microsoft, when we develop server applications, there is a set of promises, customer promises, that we make around things you can expect from a Microsoft app. It will include things like an application must support running in a virtualized environment. It will include things like PowerShell, which is how we drove PowerShell support across the board. And it will include also, and it includes servers must run on Server Core. If you are going to write a Microsoft Server application and not support Server Core, you have to go up to a VP level exemption to actually get that approved and have a good business reason. It takes time, it's a process, but we are driving that, and that's why you can expect more and more of the Microsoft applications to run on Server Core. Which brings us to third parties. You obviously don't run only Microsoft application, you run third parties applications as well. We've been working with the ecosystem to drive them towards Server Core. And I have a slide about if you are a developer, are there any developers in the room? Raise your hands. A few. Okay. So if you're a developer and you're building applications, I would start with something that's actually not on this slide. First of all, in order to run on Server Core, separate your server components from the GUI. That's the first step. Once you do that, the server component should be able to run on Server Core, but there are a few tips here on how to make sure it actually does. And usually the cases or the caveats, the pitfalls where you'll discover that it doesn't work is if you depend on some DLLs on the full server that you didn't expect to even depend on. So test your dependencies. There are tools for testing dependencies. If you're a developer, you know about them, like dependency walker and tools like that. Test on server core as your default. So install Windows Server as a server core and run your app that way. Design your UI to run remotely. And if you want to run on server core versus full server and adjust the behavior of your application somehow, you can check in runtime whether what's currently deployed is server core, minimal server interface, or full server. There are a set of registry keys that you can check for. There is a set of WMI calls that you can make. All of these will help you test at runtime where are you running on and do the right things. But start with separate your UI from the server, because if you don't separate your UI from the server, you will not run on server core, right? So that's what we wanted to say about server core. Let's talk about the next feature, which was kind of like implied before by the question. The next quote, we have a lot of quotes that are basically going back to the less is more theme that we are trying to communicate here. And Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, famous French writer, also known as the guy who wrote the Little Prince, said that perfection is achieved when there is nothing more to, not when there is nothing more to add, but when there is nothing left to take away. So we've been working for many years adding features, adding stuff to the server, and now we are trying to get it to remove it. We are going to get it off the server and get to perfection that way. So before we talk about feature on demand, let's understand how feature installation works in Windows Server. When you deploy a Windows Server, regardless of what you actually installed, features that are available for you to install on the server are put in something that is called the side-by-side store. Basically, it's a Windows SXX folder. And they are there so that you can easily add and remove features when you need them without requiring pointing to an external source. It makes it very easy to add and remove. The server becomes more agile, if you will. You can install one feature, decide that you don't need it anymore, remove it, tweak it, play with it. And the reality is that once you've done all that, the chances that you will want, and you went to production, the chances that you'll want to add those features again are pretty slim. Sometimes you have good use cases for that, but it's not the common use case. It's also consumed disk space on the server, so this side-by-side store has all of the features that you are not currently using. They're not running, they're not active, but they're there, available, just for the case of maybe you want to deploy them. When we started Server 2012, we wanted to find a way to allow you to still have this flexibility of being able to add and remove features when you need them, but minimize the disk space that the server consumes. So basically kind of like get the benefit of both worlds. Easy add remove, but not waste disk space on the server. Which is why in Server 2012, we've introduced a feature called Features on Demand that allows you to remove from the server all of the features that you're not going to use. All of the features that you don't need, basically just remove them from the side-by-side store, get rid of them, reclaim the wasted disk space that they are consuming. When you remove them, they're really deleted. You get smaller VHD sizes. You get to minimize your disk footprint. We went further. There is another component or another internal implementation of Windows Server, which is that there is actually a metadata file that stores information about all of those features that you could install. That stays there as well, just the content of the actual features is not there. In Server 2502, we've made steps to reduce the size of that one and compressed it, actually saved about a 1 gig of additional space. And there is a link on TechNet that explains exactly how this works. When you want to deploy the features and they are removed, you have to go to some external source, right? So if the feature on demand feature is about allowing you to go to external locations and get the relevant files for the feature that you want to install. You can get them from Windows Update. You can get them from the media, the disk, the DVD, or the file on the DVD that is the combined media of Windows Server. You can get them from a running server that has a side-by-side store with these features on. Or you can create a share with a copy of the media and point there. The basic point is you get, when you install a feature, you tell us where it is. What we've done before in the demo, we actually had it locally just to be able to show the demo smoothly and talk about that separately. But basically, what we'll show now is how you can do that, how you can reduce the size, so remove features you don't need, as well as how you can add them when you really need them. You can specify the location from where a feature comes from as a group policy. And let's see how it works then.
All right. So if you wanted to remove a feature from your server, go from minimal server interface to server core, for example, how we just saw, or from server graphical shell down to server core, minimal server interface, or you're just removing any server role that you don't need anymore, we saw how you could use the uninstall Windows feature PowerShell commandlet to do that. But we didn't use the dash remove parameter, which actually tells Windows to go ahead and actually delete the files from the server. So when you do that, you cannot reinstall that feature unless you provide a source. Here's a little PowerShell snippet that I really like, which is this combining get Windows feature, which we talked about, with a where filter. And we can go ahead and uninstall everything that's currently not installed but not removed. And since we're doing pretty well on time, I think I'm going to go ahead and do that, because you'll see that the space savings that we get when you do that are actually quite significant. So now we're going to switch over here. This is that server that we just installed the server graphical shell on. And this is the server that we just removed minimal server interface from. So as you can see, this server is now running server core. There's no more server manager. And no more MMC or anything like that. And I can go ahead and run PowerShell and get Windows feature, just to show you that these features have actually been uninstalled. But if you look at the state of those features, you'll see that they're still available. Meaning if I wanted to reinstall the minimal server interface or the server graphical shell, I wouldn't need to supply an installation source, and I wouldn't need to connect to Windows Update. All the files are still there on my computer. I'm going to run get volume now, so you can see how much space we're using. Right now, the disk has about 8.5 gigabytes of space in use. So that's not so bad, but we can do better. I'm going to run that command that we had on the slide. So what we're doing here is we are taking all the features that Windows knows about, and then we're filtering that list down to only the features that are not installed but available to be installed. If we take a look at that, you'll see that I've now filtered that list. Now I can pass that list of features into uninstall Windows feature with the remove parameter to remove all of the binaries for those features from the disk.
Did you actually have the filter for the not installed?
Yep. Is it F? I think so. This I can do without a reboot, which is really nice. We can see the space savings right away. While that's running, I will talk a little bit about the optional component compression, which I think is a really cool feature in R2. What happens when you install Windows updates is we uninstall the version of the feature that's currently installed, and then we install the version that's included in the update. But what happens if you want to later uninstall the update, if something breaks, or if you later install another update on top of that? Well, we save all the versions of all of the files until a service pack is released, so that if you decide to uninstall an update, we can go ahead and roll back those changes. But those old versions are stored in the Windows side-by-side directory, and they take up the same amount of disk space that they took up when they were installed. But they don't need to because we don't actually use them. So what happens is, in Windows 8, there is something called automatic maintenance that was introduced. And we've introduced a task in automatic maintenance that will go ahead and scan the Windows side-by-side directory for two things. One, files that are not installed but are available. So that could be features that are in the available state, or it could be files that have been superseded by an update or two. And then we will compress those files in two ways. First, using a delta compression algorithm, and secondly, using a data compression algorithm. So we take the binary diff and remove the parts that are the same, and then compress the part that's left over. So you get a huge amount of savings there. The second thing is that Yigal mentioned some XML files. And there are these manifest files in Windows, in the Windows directory, that describe all the files that are available to be installed and what their dependencies are and all of that. And it's XML, not a great use of disk space. So we compress those as well. This ends up with quite a significant savings. So we quoted 5 gigabytes for server core. If you leave your server core machine running, after a couple of days, you'll see that that goes down to about 4.2, 4.3 gigabytes, which is a really big savings, almost 20%. Do you want to continue on with the slides? I'm making the computer doing too much work.
Uh-huh. You made the classic mistake of demoing something we didn't plan to demo.
I was so excited. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But we can continue on, and we'll take a look at this in a second, and you'll see that we've actually saved a lot of space.
So maybe we'll use the time to show how to add a feature using an external source in the meanwhile. No? Because I believe that's the next
thing. Oh, it's done. Perfect.
Okay.
Okay, so by doing that, we have now saved a few gigabytes. And so keep in mind that on this machine, we happen to also have 1 gigabyte of RAM, so there's a 1 gig page file in there. And then there's also a 1 gig hibernation file. We need hibernation supported in order to make sure that our VMs can go to sleep and wake up nicely in the demo environment. So if you subtract 2 gigabytes from that, you'll see that we're actually sitting around 4 gigabytes of space, which is pretty great.
Great. Want to go back here?
Okay. So now we've removed all of the binaries from the disk. Now I want to get them back. How do we do it? Well, we saw how to do that with Server Manager just a few minutes ago. And I didn't specify any sources because I had the files already staged in the side-by-side directory. But you just saw that I removed those files, and now they're not there anymore. So I will demonstrate that when we do this, we're just going to click on this little link on the bottom, which is specify an alternate source path. And then I can enter the path to the Windows image file, or if I have a file share, I can enter that as well, or I can leave it blank and use Windows Update. I could do this in the same way with the source parameter. Now, I'm going to use a Windows image file as the source. Windows image files can actually contain multiple Windows images. And the images themselves are deduplicated against one another, so we don't store the same file twice across multiple images. This is really great if you're, for example, deploying Server Standard, Server Data Center, Server Essentials, or any combination of Windows, even Windows Client Editions, throughout your enterprise. You can use the same WIM file and not have to store all of the data twice. In the WIM that you get off of the server installation media, which is the WIM that we're going to be using, there are 4 images, 2 for Standard Edition and 2 for Data Center Edition. And if you look at the Server Core blog, which we've linked to at the end of the slides, you can see a more detailed example of what all the images are and what they contain. For the purposes of the demo, we have to either use number 4 or number 2. 2 if we were running Standard Edition, 4 if we were running Data Center Edition. We're running Data Center Edition, so we're going to use 4. Now I'm going to switch back. And so here is the machine, again, that we've just removed all the features from. We've significantly reduced the amount of disk space that server is consuming on this machine, which is great because this laptop has like a little SSD inside of it. I'm going to target that machine using Server Manager and then go to Add Roles and Features. I'm going to going to do the same exact thing that I did before. Go to Features, User Interfaces and Infrastructure, and then Server Graphical Shell. I'm going to add the minimal server interface. But then on this last page, while I have to still reboot, I also will note that now I have this little warning at the top that says that one or more installation selections are missing source files on the destination server. So what this means is Server Manager is telling me that it scanned the server that I'm about to install the feature on, and it knows that the features are not available to be installed on that server. So I have to go down here and specify an alternate source path since I don't want to use Windows Update. In this case, I have put the install.wim file on a network share. So I've entered the path to that network share with the wim prefix and the index 4, which is what we need to use to get the correct image out of that wim file. Then I can go ahead and click install. And it's going to go through that same process that it did just before, except now it's going to be copying the files from that remote source. Actually, the way that it works is the files aren't copied through Server Manager. Server Manager tells the destination server where to get the files from, and then it's transferred that way, so you get a little bit of an optimization there. Okay, again, this is going to take a while, so I'll hand it back to Yigal, and he's going to give you a little demo.
Yeah, so before, you want to talk about self-sync?
Sure.
Go for it.
So there is a little caveat, which some of you might have run into if you've tried deploying Server Core in your organizations. If you run Windows Update on a server running Server Core with the files for the Server Graphical Shell not installed, and then you update that server with patches, it's possible that you will put your server into such a state that it will not accept the original source from the RTM media. So what you need to do is actually service those features on demand sources. There's a few ways that you can do this. The way that you are going to need to do this depends on how you are choosing to deploy those features on demand images. So if, for example, you are sharing out the side-by-side directory of a server, you could just run Windows Update on that server, which will install the updates, and then the updates will get staged into the side-by-side directory. And it's fine if they get compressed using the new compression technology. Features on Demand in R2 knows how to handle that, and it will decompress them on demand. But Windows Update will only patch features that are enabled. So that server that you're using as the source needs to have the Server Graphical Shell installed if you want it to be updated by Windows Update and therefore available to use as an installation source. There's also something that you need to take care of when you consider the permissions on that side-by-side folder. So if you're sharing out the side-by-side folder of a running server, make sure that the machine account of all of the servers that are running Server Core will be able to access the Windows side-by-side folder on the host machine, on the source host machine. So if you don't want to change the permissions on your Windows directory, which a lot of people don't like to do, you can also capture that server as a Windows image file using a new commandlet that's new in R2, new Windows image. And you can then capture the server to an image file and copy that file onto a share and set the permissions however you would like for that. If you were not using a running server and you just want to have that Windows image file on a network share, then there's a couple of other options that you have available as well. One option would be that you could download the updates that you are installing from the Microsoft Update catalog. So a great example would be if you control all of the patches that you're installing in your organization, perhaps you're using something like WSUS, Windows Server Update Services, or perhaps you're just manually selecting and installing patches, or perhaps you're automatically installing patches. If you go out and inventory all the patches that you've deployed throughout your organization, you can then go to the Microsoft Update catalog, download the redistributable files for all of those updates, and then install them into the Windows image offline, meaning that you don't even have to boot up the server and run Windows Update. You can do this with a few more new PowerShell commandlets that are again available in R2, mount Windows image, add Windows package, and save Windows image. I'm not going to go through this in great detail, but you can reference the slides later if you would like to try this yourself.
So basically both options are
if you are going to use feature on demand and you're going to remove the features that you don't need, you do want to maintain some place where there is the external source for those features for the cases where you want to install them, and we've covered two ways to get that. I think we can skip that one, right, and go straight to Server Manager. So, back to the less is more, and now we're talking about GUI. And even in the GUI, we believe that less is better. It's not the notes you play, it's the notes you don't play. That's a Miles Davis quote, and he was famous for actually allowing himself to stop, pause, and not improvise during, and just have a moment of silence. So less music, and actually it ends up getting better. We've tried to design Server Manager to give you the things you need and not overload it with things that are not really necessary for managing the servers. Let's take a look at how Server Manager in 2012 looks like. I'm assuming that everyone has seen that before, but I'll just want a raise of hand. Is anyone? Raise your hand if you've played with the new Server Manager of 2012 already. Yeah, okay. So practically almost everyone. GUI is good, right? You do want GUI to manage the server. It just needs to be somewhere else, not on the server, but on your desktop or maybe on a server machine that you're using as a desktop, but out of the server itself. Server Manager in 2012 was designed to manage multiple servers that are remote. So unlike before, where Server Manager used to manage one server, in 2012, we've basically said, hey, if you're going to have all of those servers running without a GUI, let's have one place for a GUI to manage all of them together. We'll talk about how Server Manager is designed and give you a few advanced tips on how to maximize the benefit of it. The UI design of Server Manager is shaped or designed around the principle of the modern UI. It's glanceable. You should be able to just like look at the UI and see the relevant information that you need and see actionable views, see things that you really need to act upon. It shows you where you actually need to do stuff. It is managing those servers, those subset of servers that you decide to point, to use it to manage. It is managing them by technology. So we group together all of the servers that are DHCP server or that are WSAS server or all of your Active Directory servers. And we give you a view that allows you to easily go and look into my DHCP infrastructure, what's going on there, what are the servers doing. We auto-discover that. It's built into Server Manager. We often get asked, when should I use Server Manager? We have a System Center, Ops Manager, other tools for managing servers. What is Server Manager for? The way it was designed was to help you in the following case. Usually in large enterprises, we see, so if you're a small organization, probably that's your management tool. In a large enterprise, we see that in addition to having the central management tool for all of my servers for the big infrastructure environment, there is always the IT admin that cares about this subset of servers. These are my servers. That's what I really need to take care of on a day-to-day basis. I know that we have 1,000 servers, but there are 50 servers out there that I'm responsible for. And Server Manager was designed to help you do that in parallel to whatever other management system you are running. So managing servers using Server Manager, select the subset that you want and manage them. To close the loop on the deployment choice, Server Manager has a few options or we've evolved the deployment choices with Server Manager and Windows Server 2012. First of all, you'd notice probably that the roles and features deployments are basically one wizard. We don't have the separation into two separate wizards that existed before. You can use features on demand from Server Manager. We've seen that. You can deploy features into offline VHDs. You don't actually have to target a running server. If you want to, if you have a library of VHDs of servers that are currently offline, you can point at the VHD and say, install this feature into this VHD. And then when you deploy the VHD, the feature is obviously there. You can export those settings. So if you say, I'm going to deploy a few features into and I need to deploy that, do the same thing on several different servers, you can export that configuration template and use it with PowerShell to automate that across different servers. Then obviously batch deploy that via automation, via PowerShell. And we've also introduced one more thing, which is a new model of deployment for applications or for roles in server that actually span server. So if this becomes a multi-server environment, RDS is the first role that actually requires multiple servers acting as multiple tiers of the RDS application, and Server Manager can do that, can deploy one tier acting as one part of the RDS app, another server acting as another part of the app, and deploy the whole RDS solution for you. Before we jump into the demo, let's talk a little bit about the design principles behind Server Manager. How was it designed, and how does it work a little bit behind the scene? So you have a set of remote servers, and you decide that you want to manage those servers that are colored in gold here. So you create you basically point Server Manager and say, this is the server pool that you're going to manage. Server Manager will go and create an inventory. Internally, it will basically go and query the servers, understand what roles and features are installed on those servers. So this is kind of like your inventory here. And use that inventory to create views that are based on those discovered pieces of information. So you will have one view for all servers, all of the servers that you want to manage, but we also automatically create a role view for every role that is installed. So let's say we've discovered two DHCP servers, one WSAS, one DNS, one AD. We'll create four role views, one per each role that we discovered, and each of them will be associated with the servers that are running this role. And a server can be doing multiple things, so you'll actually see it in two different places, in two of the role groups. And that feeds into the UI of Server Manager, which gives you basically a navigation pane that points you to a dashboard, but also directly to each role. And from each role, you can drill down into a detailed view that will show you more information about this role that is deployed. You can drill down from the dashboard as well. Once the UI is laid out, Server Manager starts acting and monitoring the system. And Server Manager collects events from the managed servers, show you which services are running on the managed servers, collects performance statistics, collects BPA information, best practice analysis information, and exposes all of this information to you as actionable, glanceable data on the Server Manager UI. So a lot of thinking went into making sure that what you end up with is a good view that allows you to manage the environment, a lot of research with IT admins to see what kind of UI will help you. Everything is remote. You can run the UI from the desktop. Key principles in Server Manager. In addition to the default behavior of automatically generating the role view for you, we allow you to customize Server Manager. And think about the case where you have some line of business application that spans multiple servers, and you want to look at that as, I don't know, this is my SAP deployment, or this is my SharePoint deployment that includes the web tier and the database tier and all these as a group of servers that are all doing one thing. So we allow you to create custom groups of servers, and I'll show you how to do that. Once you create a custom group, you basically define which servers are in this custom group, what is the server set. You define what data you want to collect from these servers, so what are the kind of queries you want to run there, and dashboard filters that will allow you to customize the level of information you want to see on the dashboard and in the detail view for the servers. So let's go to a demo.
Okay, before I give it to Yigal, I just want to show you that this server that we haven't switched. Did you press it?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I just want to show you that we are now back in server with the GUI. Instead of having 34 gigabytes remaining, we now have 32.2. So you can see that adding all those user interface components consumed 2 gigabytes of space. We're still saving a lot of space because we've removed all of those other optional components that we aren't using. So if you look in the Get Windows feature, you'll see that all of those are still removed. We can always add them, of course, using features on demand, but we don't need to because we don't need them.
Okay, great. So I don't need this specific server anymore. What I do need is the Server Manager. So let me go and find my Hyper-V console and let me connect.
Oh, that was it, right here.
That
was the remote one?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And let me go to the full screen view. That will be a little bit clearer. So this is the Server Manager. You've seen that before. That's the navigation pane with the view. If I go to the dashboard, I see all of the servers that I'm managing. I don't know why they are red here. They were green before. Let's actually use this to hide those alerts. And I basically need to look at that. It's actually a great example of actionable view. Something happened here. I can look at the events. I can understand that this is a transient state and basically hide the alerts. And as I do that, the console turns green. And I will not do it for all of the servers right now. So this is the Server Manager. If you are, as you've noticed, I went from the dashboard. I can go to the dashboard view and look at my Active Directory servers. I can double click here and get to a detailed view of those servers. To close the loop on a few things that we talked about, if I go to manage and add and remove roles, when I install features, I can decide to install the feature on a VHD. So I don't have to install it on a running server. I can actually select a VHD and install features into that. I will not demo that, but this is where you can find it.
Can I mention something too? You can actually use a VHD as a features on demand source as well. So check that out if you're interested.
Okay. I can go and, as I said, Server Manager can now deploy a new type of applications or a new type of roles that actually require to be deployed on multiple servers. So the remote desktop services is the first one we have done that for. And when you do that, I'll go with the standard deployment, you'll see that I can basically, I will be asked for each of the roles, each of the tiers of the RDS, I would be asked which server do I want to put that on. Okay, I will not do that here, but you just notice that I'm first choosing the server that will act as the connection broker. Let's say take server demo 2. Okay, the next thing, Server Manager will discover a few pieces of information and then ask me about the next role. And it basically will walk me through the steps of installing a multi-tier role on multiple servers. Okay, so this is the new capability of Server Manager that you benefit from. If I wanted to add features and then I automate that on multiple servers, I'll go back here. I will just do a simple selection of a few features. Let's select this one. And let's say I wanted to deploy DNS server on it. I will get to the last page. And I can export this configuration. And if I export this configuration file and I save it, I can then use it with the PowerShell commandlet for install Windows feature. And basically, instead of directing it what exactly to deploy, I can tell it, use this XML file as your input. And I can then automate it on multiple servers and use that as the way to deploy the same thing on multiple servers. Let's talk about the configuration, the custom groups. I actually created one here, but let's create a new one. So as we said, we may have a case where some of our servers are basically acting as an application, a multi-tier application, and I want to see them as a multi-tier application. I can go to manage. I can create a server group. I will say this is my SAP application. I'm just inventing something here. And it should include server 2 and server 4 because those two are part of this server group that are acting as one application multi-tier. When I do that, I have a group here that's created for me. And that group manages two servers and we start collecting events from these servers. When I edit the server group, I basically can just select which servers it will create. And I can do that from here as well. And I can configure which events I want to collect from this server group. So let's say that for this specific application, I only care about critical errors, and I want to collect this information only once a week. And I can configure that for that group.
That group will appear here, but it will also appear in the dashboard. So if something is wrong with this specific group of servers, I will get notified, and it will be I can treat that dashboard tile as my view into that multi-tier application that I basically know about and Server Manager couldn't detect because it's not a Windows Server role. So this is for custom groups. As you see, the custom group is added to the dashboard. You can still see the detail view. You have actionable views to configure which events to collect, which services are running there, and which services to monitor. This is actually just a refresh, which if you want to run BPA. All of these things are basically added for me. And there is a lot of customization that's available for you here. Basically, go and play with the tasks tile, and you'll see the amount of configuration or the amount of customization that you can make in order to make Server Manager collect just the amount of data that you need and give you the actionable view that you need about those servers. So Server Manager starts managing all of those servers, and obviously it collects a lot of data from the servers. And we wanted to just give you a little bit of an insight in what's happening behind the scene, mainly so that you actually feel comfortable doing that and know that the system was designed, or Server Manager was designed, to be very optimal in the way it manages the servers and to just get the data that you actually need. So we wanted to have Server Manager present data that you can get confident about, that you can feel confident about. So it has to be relevant. It has to be the up to date. So Server Manager does polling against the servers and get this data. And when it does, the question is, what happens? How does it impact my servers, the fact that Server Manager is monitoring them? What happens on the network? Am I collecting too much data, not enough data, et cetera? So behind the scenes, what is happening is that there is actually a date time stamping for all of the data that we are collecting. And Server Manager is smart enough to collect only delta information, only the new amount, the new events that happen, new information about service status, new information about performance data. Only that data is collected on the configured interval, which is by default 10 minutes, and you can actually change that. We actually do caching on the server side. So when we go and talk to a server, and we ask for an inventory of what's running there, or we do some query around events to collect events of a certain kind, we cache them on the server side so that when we go back, we minimize the load on the server so that it doesn't have to redo the whole thing. So there is a smart caching mechanism happening behind the scenes so that the server will not be impacted by the fact that it's being monitored. And we also do data query optimization. So on the Server Manager side, if we have to do several queries that could be optimized by not repeating some of the queries that we already know about, we will do that. And Server Manager really, on the Server Manager side itself, queries using some optimization logics only for the additional amount of data that it needs. So let's take a look at that for a second. Let's say you have four servers, and for those four servers, you have configured them to collect all of the critical and error and warning information every 24 hours and collect data from three different logs, three different event sources. But what would happen when Server Manager queries Server Demo 1 is that basically it will go and do exactly what you expect, right? Collect this amount of information. Then you've decided that Server Demo 1 and Server Demo 3, you want to collect also informational data every 12 hours. And the logs, you've basically customized that for the roles that are on the servers. So Server Manager will obviously go and every 12 hours also collect the information for the specific roles and also collect the additional informational data. At this point, there is no optimization required. It basically does the things that you expect. But if you go and create another custom group, and that custom group will be configured to go and collect every 3 days critical and errors and collect some application-specific log, Server Manager will start doing some optimization on how it contacts Server Demo 1. And you can see that Server Demo 1 has to participate in all of those queries. So it will get information collected from it every 3 days, every 24 hours, and every 12 hours as well. But the warning level information has a unique behavior behind the scene to collect the application log every 24 hours and stop collecting that a second time because it's just like unnecessary. So there are queries optimization happening behind the scenes to ensure basically that we don't overload the servers being monitored and that we don't create excess network traffic of moving all of this data from the servers to server manager and being able to present you with all of the with a good view of the server status without having to overload the system. Let's close with one more thing that we think you would like to do with Server Manager, and that's to personalize it a little bit. This is for the IT admin who is using Server Manager. This is the tool you use every day to look at the servers. You can do two things. You can customize the tools menu. So you can organize it around your own tools. You can create PowerShell scripts that will do common tasks that you want to do. And the other thing that you may want to know about is that Server Manager, once you configure it and tell it to monitor a specific set of servers, create a file of the servers that you manage that actually roams with you, so it's part of your user profile. If you move to a different machine, a different desktop, and log in and want to manage the servers from there, you'll find this familiar view. Let's show you the tools menu. So the tools menu here, as you can see, is different from the one that you've seen on the default server, right? It's been customized. And it's been customized to have all of the tools and PowerShell scripts, etc. The way you do that is by basically the tool menu is a reflection. This is not what I needed. The tools menu is a reflection of the administrative tools folder. Whatever you put here will appear in the tools menu in Server Manager. So you have one place where you can just like click tools and get your favorite things. And if you decide that you want to add something, let's add a shortcut here. And let's add a shortcut to Notepad.
And this works even if you don't have the shell installed.
Yeah. And let's add the let's call it the do more with less tool. And when I've done that, I already have it here in the tools menu. And if I do more with less, I open Notepad and I can do anything I want because it's a great tool and it's very minimal. So you've seen that you can organize the tools that you want to be in front of you on a day-to-day and just put them in Server Manager and it's there. Okay, so this is my favorite quote. I follow it every day of my life. If I had more time, I would have written less. If I am doing a deck, I would then start spending time removing slides from it, not adding. When we are writing something for the first time, we often do more than is actually necessary and then start thinking how to optimize, how to be more concise, how to be more focused on the task. There is some controversy around who actually owns this quote. I believed it's Mark Twain until I started doing research for this deck and found out that there are some people claiming ownership. It doesn't really matter. If we had more time, we would have written less, and we are on a journey to continue to reduce the footprint of Server Core to get it smaller and leaner and suitable for doing just the thing that server needs to have, right? So again, less is more. The more time we have, we'll actually continue and advancing the journey. There are a set of resources here that you can use to learn more about all of the things we've talked about Server Core, about features on demand, about Server Manager. The Server Manager blog is very useful in understanding how Server Manager works behind the scenes and more customization options that you can go for.
And we'll continue to update the Server Core blog with new tips and tricks and new things you can do to make your servers even smaller.
Yeah. This is the standard slide for resources. And please don't forget to evaluate the session. I know it's almost the last session of TechEd. Usually on these sessions, we get one feedback from one good citizen. The more feedback you give us, the better the next sessions will be. So please, we really value your feedback. We read the comments. Please go ahead and submit feedback. At that point, let's open up for questions.
Sure.
So, any questions? Yes.
Yeah.
Let me answer that. So the question is, how many systems can you manage with Server Manager? Server Manager is designed for the IT admin who manages his servers. We are testing it at around 100 servers. That's the rough number that we think is relevant for this use case. We are not testing it with the thousands of servers, but 100 you can easily do. Okay? Do you need to do more?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as Igal mentioned, we are testing it on 100 servers or so, maybe 200. I don't know. It's not designed to go to the scale that System Center does in terms of really huge amounts of machines. You can definitely do some things with Server Manager. You can reduce the refresh rate so that it's not pulling all so many things at one time. But
there is no exact number here because it depends on the use case. But think a single admin should be able to use this to manage his servers. If you do that, you're fine. Additional questions? Okay. Thank you very much.